Beloved radio friends, in the precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, we gratefully greet you to welcome you to the study of God's precious word, which in all humility and faithfulness we would bring before your hearts by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Our subject of meditation has been of late and continues to be the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We have touched upon many precious truths regarding this blessed person of the Trinity and his great work of ministry. At the present time, we are considering his work or his ministry of baptizing. Our scripture reading has been taken, and once again we read it from the second chapter of the book of the Acts, and we are reading a most important record of Scripture concerning the Holy Spirit, which unfortunately too many believers are not fully aware as to its meaning. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his precious word. Now we have stated and restate this, that in the reading of this scripture we can find five different things that took place when historically the Holy Spirit in his blessed person descended from heaven above to take up his dwelling upon the earth below. First, we have noted, and we repeat it for the benefit of any who may have not have heard it. First, there was the fulfillment of a promise. The promise of the Savior from John 14 and verse 16. When he told that the Father, I will pray the Father and he will send you another Comforter. And then his own promise that he would send the Comforter in John 15 and verse 26. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you. We rejoice, the promise has been kept. You may remember when the Lord Jesus was saying farewell in Acts chapter 1 to his disciples, he told them to tarry at Jerusalem and until the promise of the Father was fulfilled. We thank God this promise, both of the Father and Son, has been fulfilled. The Spirit of God has been sent. We also noted a second thing, that this occasion became also, at the same time, the dwelling of the Holy Spirit with the disciples, or with the believers. And this was the fulfillment of the Lord's declaration, that he would dwell with you. He will abide with you forever. Now these two facts, we repeat with no apology for our repetition. They conclusively declare, we cannot, we should not, we must not, and we will not pray for the Holy Spirit to be sent again. He has come. Now here is a third fact, a fact that we have already mentioned in our preceding studies on the Holy Spirit, and a most outstanding fact that also was inaugurated on the day of Pentecost and fulfilled the words of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 14 and verse 17, the closing phrase of this 17th verse declared that the Lord Jesus said that the Holy Spirit shall be in you. Now we have already touched upon the ministry of the indwelling Spirit, but we repeat, on account of going over these scriptures in the book of the Acts, chapter 2, We repeat that the personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit thus began on the day of Pentecost. As we have studied the subject in the preceding message, we rejoice to know this also was one of the outstanding facts on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God came to the earth. Now we would only repeat again, every believer possesses the Holy Spirit. May I repeat that? He shall be in you, said the Lord Jesus. And to even some most unfortunate, unspiritual believers in the church at Corinth, the apostle wrote, saying, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, who is in you? Now, beloved, Paul said those words to unspiritual saints who had been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And the reception of the Holy Spirit in his indwelling, that reception is the joy and the possession of every believer, regardless as to the spiritual state. Now may we go further and repeat once again with emphasis. We may grieve the Holy Spirit. You'll never grieve him away, my fellow believer. You may vex the Holy Spirit. You will never vex him out of your heart if he is there. May I remind mine own heart, together with all my fellow believers, wherever you and I go, whatever you and I do, whatever words we may say, we say the words, we travel where we may, we do what we will, but always the Spirit of God is indwelling us, and he is the holy guest within the heart of every saved person. So let us recognize this too was one of the things that was accomplished and which has continued from the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came to the earth. Now we mention another thing regarding the Holy Spirit, which is also found in this scripture in the book of the Acts. And that was the filling of the Holy Spirit. May I read the words of Acts 2? And we read, if I may begin the second verse, there appeared unto them unto them cloven tongues as of fire, which sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now this is another phase of that day of Pentecost. There was not only the fulfillment of the promise of the Father and Son. There was not only the dwelling of the Holy Spirit with them. And third, there was not only the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, but we have here another fact. The Holy Spirit filled them. Now you may ask the question, what's the difference between the Holy Spirit being with them and the Holy Spirit also dwelling in them and the Holy Spirit now filling them? There is a distinct difference, my friend. Now concerning the filling of the Holy Spirit, we shall reserve that for our next subject. But the filling of the Holy Spirit was one of the things that was done on the day of Pentecost. Now I want to say this as we go into our theme, to which we are leading. The filling of the Holy Spirit was not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we will prove from the Word of God. Though the filling of the Holy Spirit on this occasion accompanied the baptism of the Spirit. But as you read the book of the Acts, and this I suggest, and we shall take the subject up in more detail in our next theme, but when we do, we shall find that in the book of the Acts, you will find these men being filled on more than one occasion with the Holy Spirit of God, as they testified, as they wrought signs and miracles. And this infilling of the Holy Spirit we shall take up in a special study. Now we wish to come to the fifth fact regarding the coming of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost that took place on that initial day. And that is, the Spirit of God, when He came upon the day of Pentecost, fulfilled what was called and is called the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit. Now here we come to a controversial theme, I know. And I frankly confess with sadness there are too many Christians who are plainly ignorant of what is the meaning of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For though the historical occasion of it is recorded in the book of the Acts, and we must go on to just clearly state in our closing moment and resume it in our next message, we must clearly state that the complete and the clearest explanation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit has been written by the Holy Spirit Himself in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, where Paul writes, saying, "For by one Spirit are we, or have we, all been baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made, all made, to drink into one Spirit." Now here is one verse which I must leave with you before we can continue the subject in the next message. Here is one verse that the Holy Spirit declares, that the one Spirit is the Holy Spirit as He came on the day of Pentecost to form the one body, which is the church. And the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost came upon the disciples, He abode with them, He filled them, but He also united them into a body, a living organism, the church, which is Christ's body, and Christ is the head of that body in heaven above. And all believers here were on that day united by the Spirit to that one body. And since then, whenever, wherever a sinner believes in the finished work of Christ to save him or her, that believing sinner shares in that baptism and is joined by the Holy Spirit to that one body. Father, please sanctify this truth and help us to take it further and clearer for the blessing of all. In our Savior's name, amen.